In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Tuesday morning. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for this weekly morning coffee with Dr. T. Think of this event as a plan that we plan to meet at a local coffee shop every Tuesday morning, have a short chat, a cup of joe to start the day. And I always will come prepared with one or two things to start the day with. And hopefully you'll come with lots of questions, too. The whole purpose of this is to answer your questions specifically. But remember, I can't give any specific medical advice. So I remind you to please keep your questions generic and to voice them generically so they will be of value to everyone who is at the coffee shop this morning. Yes, good morning, everybody. It is my birthday. I've already gotten hundreds of text messages this morning I was waking up to. And I thank you, everybody. It's not anything that, you know, at my age that you tend to want to celebrate. It's more goofy for me to think about the fact that four months of this year is already gone. I mean, it seems like just a minute ago we were talking about Christmas and then Easter, and it's just like a crazy thing that we are now here at the 7th of May already. So I want to welcome everybody for being here. You know, this week we did a really great bunch of things. In our Friday Favorites newsletter, we did a health tip on your heart, on nitric oxide. We did a whole focus on what is good for your heart. So we talked about the health tip about nitric oxide. Of course, we were promoting Cardio Miracle. It's one of our affiliate programs. And we have a Mother's Day special going on at our ECP studios. Both of them have what's called a Mother's Day. Give your mother a celebrated day to help her heart. So we're giving two sessions for $99, one for you and one for your mom to see what it's like. But I'm telling you, these BOGO sessions are really set up just so you can get a feel for what the technology is all about. When you get on the beds, either in Ventura, California, or here in Cleveland, Ohio, it's a cuff, the cuffs that go around your calf, your thighs, and your lower abdomen. It's hooked up with an EKG over to a monitor station. So every time your heart pumps, and then it relaxes, and then the cuffs pump. So it's heart cuffs, heart cuffs, heart cuffs. And it feels like a deep tissue massage. It is a rather rigorous sort of thing. And so these initial sessions are to show you what the bed feels like. They are not usually designed, well, they're actually not designed to show you any great benefit from the ECP, because you really need at least 10 sessions to really start seeing the difference with ECP in your life. And ECP is for your high blood pressure, for hypertension. It also increases, it's passive exercise. It moves your blood through your body. It moves your lymph through your body. It gives you a better exercise tolerance, better exercise performance. It gives you better ways to recover quickly from exercise. So it's really about moving blood flow and improving circulation. So the first one is really to give it a try so you can see what it's like. But it's really when you get to the next section, because we sell these in packages of 10, 20, and 35. A full session is 35. And at 10 sessions is when you start to really see the benefit. Now, that's not to say that people don't feel benefit from just the one individual session. We've had people that ringing in their ears have stopped, that double vision has stopped, that their blood pressure starts to get better under control after just one session. But really, it's at least 10 sessions when you start to see the benefit. Where you see the maximum benefit is the full course, which is 35 sessions. But we're doing a special this month. It's for the entire month of May at both sessions. It's $99 for two treatments. So you and your mom can come. It's you and your mom can come. And so the Health Restoration Center, is the phone number is 440-373-7372. And for the health center out in California, which is called ECP Studio, it's 805-557-8877. It benefits everyone, from people that have all kinds of diseases, all kinds of problems. And also it's a therapy fit for healthy individuals that will increase your energy level, heighten productivity, and improve overall quality of life and cardiovascular health. So I'm not sure why this isn't something that people just like jump up and down and say, wow, I can't wait to get started. I really want to try this. In fact, when I first was on it, that was my first thought, was, man, this is going to be really in high demand, because people can get something much less than the cost of going to the gym, for actually a fraction of the cost for doing stints. If you need bypass surgery, it's a fraction of the cost of what that is. And it's got great improvement. It maintains itself for up to 3 years, even though we do recommend a maintenance program that you come in at least once a month, once every other month, once a week, something like that, a maintenance program to maintain it. And I thought, man, this is really going to be a hot item, that people are really going to see this as a way to benefit their health. We've got financial programs, we've got package programs, we've got all sorts of things to get people incentivized to do this for their health, because it is something that people really need to take charge of, you know, particularly now in this day and age, and what is happening in our economy, what's happening in our health insurance industry, where they're not insuring anymore. It's happening with our points of business. We need to take better care of our health. We need to do it by taking right supplements, by doing something like ECP, which is passive exercise that improves all kinds of conditions in your heart. And I really thought that this would be something that people would really jump up and down and say, oh my gosh, I can't wait to do this. This is something really that I can invest in my health, that I can really invest in making myself better. Any sort of heart problems that I have, you know, heart disease and cancer are still the two most common reasons that people get sick and die. And the number one reason that people end up with a bankruptcy these days is health insurance costs. So even though you may be working and you have good insurance, it doesn't cover, it's still 10 or 20% of that it doesn't cover. It may have a maximum amount of coverage that it only covers up to a certain amount. So the insurance industry is kind of a ripoff. And what we need to do is to really take better care of our health, ourself. And that's why I take 47 pills a day and I literally do take that many. And, you know, I was traveling recently. I went to Hawaii to speak at three events out there. And I took a few extra days. If I was going to go that far, I mean, it's a 10-hour flight from Ohio. It's a long ways. It's closer to go to the UK or to go to Europe than it is to go to Hawaii. From Newark to UK is about a 5-hour flight. From Cleveland to San Francisco is about a 5-hour flight. And then it's another 4.5-hour flight from there to Hawaii. So while I was out there, I thought, I'm not going to go this far without taking a few days of vacation. So I was staying at some people's house that was just lovely. And they were just wonderful. And they had a beautiful view, like their house was right on the ocean. It had a rocky front, a lot of lava buildup right there. So where they were was probably 20 feet from the water, but you couldn't go in it there because it was super rough, it's on the windward side of the island, but it was just beautiful staying there. And I don't know, something about me and traveling these days, but it seems as though I take rain with me wherever I go. I went to Florida in December and was there 15 days and had 13 days of rain and wind. I went to Arizona last year at Christmas time, and it was same thing, rain, wind, and ice. And in Arizona at Christmas time. And when I went to Hawaii, I only had 3 days of sunshine while I was there. But 3 days of sunshine, I got a little bit of sunshine on my face. And so that's where you see sort of the tanning that I have a little bit this morning. So it was really super good. And so anyways, I did have a little bit of fun and relaxation time there. And then when I came back, it was I saw, if you guys saw me on the high wire, I came back a day early from Florida and went to Austin, Texas for a day. And I spent a day at high wire at the studio with Dell and team there on Thursday. And then Friday, I was supposed to come fly home on Friday afternoon. There was a big storm down in Houston. It backed up all of the traffic. The flight coming out of Austin was delayed. I missed the flight in Dallas by 10 minutes because the flight from Dallas to Cleveland left 15 minutes early, and we were a half an hour late on the flight from Austin to Dallas. So I missed the flight, ended up spending the night there, had our boot camp webinar. And for those of you that attended that, I hope that you really enjoyed it. It was really a lovely webinar. It was 4 hours of great information. It was really, really good. And we've gotten some really great and very gracious thank yous back from that, that people said, you know, I didn't want to spend the money, but I'm so glad I did. I learned so much, and I can use this information over and over again. I can share it with family and friends, what I've learned, and I can go into the Learning for You portal, and I can listen to it over and over again. And so I didn't get home until late on Saturday night. And boy, these last 3 days, you can probably hear it a little bit in my voice. I've had a pretty significant case of jet lag that I don't usually get when I travel. But you know, going from west to east, it's there's more of a lag and more of an issue with travel than going from east to west. And so this was a long and a lot of work in between times. And so I hope you enjoyed. On watching me on the high wire. And for those of you that missed it on Thursday, it was really good. And my major announcement was the fact that we beat the Ohio Medical Board. We beat them back, and my license has been reinstated. It says on the website, it says reinstated, like with a temporary suspension still there, but it's not true. In fact, my attorney has called down to the state medical board. They referred him to the legal department. For whatever reason, they put probationary period, reinstated with probationary regulations. And there is nothing probationary about my license being reinstated. So on this show, I want to make it clear and to announce there's nothing probationary about my license. It's been fully reinstated. I'm up to date on all my continuing medical education. I have eight. There's a CME has a 3 year cycle, and I've got 8 more hours to do between now and the end of the year, which is not a big deal. You can do that online, and it's a really big deal that we put the medical board back on its heels because they had no reason to suspend it in the first place. They said that I didn't cooperate, and I cooperated with every step of their investigation. Over the last 42 years, there has never been another physician whose license had been suspended for lack of cooperating when we did cooperate. And so it was a really kind of a bogus sort of thing that they were doing to try to make an example out of me. Well, we did everything that they said they were going to do. We answered their questions. We paid their fine. We did all these things, and they had nothing left to do except to release the license, which they didn't do for months. For 4 months, this went on, and my attorney was calling and emailing and sending messages and leaving messages, and it was like absolute crickets until he threatened to file a writ of mandamus against them, which is going to force the court to make them do their job. And he, the day before he went to the court, he called the attorney that represents the state medical board and said, "We're going to do this. It's going to make you look really bad. You guys are going to lose. It's going to be all over the news that a writ of mandamus was filed with the court to make the state medical board do its job and review what we had submitted." And the next morning. The next morning by email, we got an email back from the attorney that said, "On further review, we have completely decided that we have reversed all of the charges against Dr. Tempany. We reinstated her license." So it's you know, because they had nothing left to do but say yes. So we'll see what happens from here. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me if I was going to continue to sue them for all the things that they were doing and all the things that they've done. And the answer is, as of right now, no. I've got other things that I need to do and other things I need to be working on. excuse me. We won our case, so to speak. We won after all this harassment and all this money. To be able to sue them, we would have to, there would be a lot of steps involved with it. And it would take a lot of years. I'll take a lot of years out of my life. It would take a lot of money, which I don't have. And I don't really want to spend on attorney fees just to make a point. And so it's, you know, as far as I'm concerned right now, we're done with what we're going to do. And we are to the point of saying, you know, and we've won. And my message to physicians and other people who've been hearing this is that just hold your ground. Hold your ground. If you know you're right, hold your ground. Don't make a real big deal out of your case. Don't bring in a whole bunch of people to testify that you were right. Just stand on your own and be right. And you know what? In the right, things will prevail. So I'm looking here, Cookie. I don't see. Let me see. Let me pull one more thing over here to the side. I don't see. Oh, there it is. I had to pull it up a little bit wider in order to see it. Okay. I didn't see the Q&A questions there. So anyways, that was kind of like the big deal for this week. I was in Hawaii. I did 3 church services. They were really lovely. And I will say, I didn't bring it down here with me this morning, but we can show the graphic of, or we can maybe show it from the Friday Focus, that my book has been written. And, you know, I'm really kind of proud of it. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of work, even more work than I thought it was going to take, considering that I had already written most of the text. But you can see from the Friday Focus newsletter that it's not your typical kind of book. It's not the kind of book that you start at the beginning and it's like, dear reader, blah, 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 blah. The end is, and you read it and you're done with it. It's the kind of book that's a bit of inspiration that will be there for you always. And I really hope that you'll get this book and you'll have it around. People that have got it and held it in their hand, they've said, man, this is a nice book. It's got a nice feel to it. It's got a good paperweight. You can see from the picture. I don't know. Can somebody share screen on this? Somebody share screen. There we go. There we go. You can see that it's got pictures and colors and little graphic things and all the way on the inside of it. And you can see there's little pictures of Tegan even. And so it's, I hope that people will get it. You can get it by going to bit.ly/WWG1-PB. Now that breaks down into Walking with God Book 1-PB, which stands for paperback. So bit.ly/WWG1-PB, WWG1-PB, which is Walking with God, Book 1. Book 2 is coming out by Father's Day, and -PB, which is paperback. It is also available as an ebook that you can download from our website, and probably by Father's Day, we'll also have a hardcover back book available. But for right now, this is in paperback, and I really hope that you'll get it. You support my work, support what we do, and it's something of value that you will treasure. I am sure you will treasure it. I do, and I even wrote it. I think it's really good. So anyways, let's move on to some questions here this morning. Happy birthday. Thank you for all you do. I've heard some possible connection of COVID and developing low hemoglobin or anemia. Yes, it's true. I've always said that it doesn't matter what your condition is. If you say, can having COVID or taking the COVID jazz cause fill in the blank, like in this condition, fill in the blank is low hemoglobin anemia. The answer is yes, because it can cause a hemolytic anemia It's one of the things that leads to blood clots. It's because of it messes up your blood. And that's the spike protein from having the COVID infection, or the spike protein from having the COVID injection. So anytime you say, do you think that COVID could, or COVID or the COVID jab could cause this? The answer is almost unequivocally yes. Do I have any suggestions for someone who's recovering from mono and adrenal fatigue? There are some really great supplements out there for adrenal fatigue. We have several of them in our store. There is one by Standard Enzyme that I think is really good. Standard Process. That's really good. It's called Adrenamin. It really does boost up your adrenal glands, and it has the least amount of side effects of any adrenal supplement I've ever seen. From mono, it's really just improving your overall health. It's improving, making sure you have plenty of vitamin C. It's those two things are really what can help you recover from the mono and the fatigue and the adrenal fatigue really the most. I'm currently taking an estrogen blocker. Dr. Norman Anderson and his very low dose radiation method will be my treatment of choice. And I went to see if treatment is necessary. Well, good luck with that, Mary. God bless you. I'm imagining that from what you said here that you've got breast cancer, and we'll see about a low dose radiation and an estrogen blocker. We'll see if that, we'll all continue to pray for Mary, for her breast cancer, so that that treatment really does work. Are there any conditions that you should not use ECP? There's only a couple contraindications. One is a known blood clot. One is uncontrolled atrial fibrillation, because the machine has to be able to read your heart rate. And the third is uncontrolled hypertension. When your blood pressure is about 180 over 120 or so, or your diastolic, your bottom number blood pressure is above 80. Those are the only contraindications to ECP. Now, there are some, those are real hard contraindications. Those are things that you absolutely cannot. There's some soft contraindications, and I wouldn't even call them contraindications. There are some soft things that we monitor. Like, for example, if you've had a history of myocarditis after you've had an ECP, after you've had a COVID jab and you had a history of myocarditis, ECP would be a good benefit for improving circulation, but you need to let us know that, because the pressure needs to stay really low, like between 1 and 2. It does a pressure gradient of 1 to 4, and we usually keep those very low at one to four, and we usually keep them down around 1, maybe 1.5, maybe 2 for mild myocarditis. Oh, I'm sorry. One of the other contraindications is being on Coumadin. You can't take Coumadin because with the cuff pressures of what they do, you'll end up just looking like somebody beat the tar out of you, because you'll end up bruised. It's a lot of bruising issues that would happen with the pressures on the cuff. So it's uncontrolled hypertension, uncontrolled atrial fibrillation, Coumadin. And we need to go cautiously if you've had a history of myocarditis. But and of course, you shouldn't do it when you're pregnant. You shouldn't be laying on your back that long, and there's too much cuff pressure when you're pregnant. Let's see. Can a virus end up causing thyroid issues? Are the physical signs of a thyroid problem? Well, there's two types of thyroid problems. There is a hyperthyroid and a hypothyroid. Both of them can be caused by viral conditions. A hyperthyroid condition will mean that you'll be tachycardic, mean your heart will race, you'll lose weight inappropriately, you have sweaty palms, feel extremely anxious. Maybe if it's gone on for a while, you will even get some eye signs, which means that your eyes will get a little bit bulgy. And those are hyperthyroidism. Hypothyroidism is low thyroid, which generally means just very bad fatigue. Inappropriate weight gain. You can't lose weight no matter what you do, no matter what you eat. You have really a great amount of fatigue. You have slowed reflexes. Those are some of the physical signs of thyroid problems. Generally, hypothyroidism is picked up by a blood test just on a routine evaluation. And the thing with hypothyroidism is that it is primarily diagnosed by a blood test called TSH. And TSH has a wide range of normal. In fact, some of the things that you read in terms of the thyroid literature, it will say that you have a TH up to 10 and it still can be in the normal range. Now, these people will be so fatigued, they wouldn't be able to get off the couch. And those are the American College of Endocrinology. And the endocrinologists, they will let the TSH range go really, really high. And the American College of Clinical Endocrinology, they say no, if you've got symptoms and your TSH is above 3.5, then you need to be treated and you need to be balanced out. In order to make your thyroid function well, you need to have your adrenal glands in good shape. So there's a lot to the whole thyroid issue. There's also something called Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is inflammation of the thyroid. Yeah, I picked up a little bit of a cold on all these travels too, just a little bit. You can hear it in my throat, and it's getting better. It's getting better. I'll come back to that in a second. But the thyroid issue is also, there's a inflammation of your thyroid called Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is a chronic inflammation, and it's an autoimmune disease against your thyroid. There is a issue about taking iodine with thyroid. You have to do it with great caution. With hyperthyroid, treating with iodine usually can correct it, but you have to do it very slowly and titrate up the dose very slowly. The same thing with hypothyroid. Sometimes small doses of nascent iodine or potassium iodide or smaller doses of iodine, if you titrate it up slowly, it will improve your thyroid function. If you have Hashimoto's, it's very difficult to use iodine with Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Because thyroiditis, the Hashimoto's is that sometimes it's functioning really well, sometimes it's not functioning very well at all. Sometimes it's functioning well, sometimes not very well. It's like a pendulum. And some people's pendulums really swing widely, and some people's pendulums really swing very narrowly. And I've got patients in my practice that have various doses of thyroid medications for when their thyroid, because they have thyroiditis. And if their thyroid function is very low, they take a little bit of a higher dose. When it's really high and they feel like their heart's racing or they feel nervous and jittery, they take a smaller dose. It's easier for them to dose that than for me to try to prescribe it if they're really in tune with their body and how they feel. And to try to throw iodine in the middle of that, it can be very difficult. So it's very difficult to treat with iodine or to use iodine if you've got Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So there's a lot to thyroid conditions, a lot to them. In fact, it's one of the webinars I'm thinking about doing has to do with thyroid conditions and adrenal conditions and iodine. Maybe I could get some feedback from you guys about whether or not that would be something of interest. If you can put it over here in the chat, or if you are watching this later, if you'd be very interested in that, then let me know. Me see. This says, I've been blessed with new grandsons, and I've given both daughters many books and videos to watch on vaccines, but they're both worried and anxious what to do if their babies get sick. I can't find any good books or videos on how to treat your kids if they get sick if they're unvaccinated. Oh my goodness. There's a really good book by Robert Mendelson called How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. It's an older book. It's been around a long time. And it tells people what to do for their babies if they get sick. I mean, children got sick for 30,000 years before they before had, I mean, as long as we've had people on the planet, maybe it's 30,000 years, maybe it's 10,000, maybe it's 6,000, whatever your belief system is, but humans have been here for a very long time. Vaccines have been around for 200 years, and the childhood vaccination schedule has been around for less than 100 years. And so what did we do for babies when they were sick? What did you, Jan, do for your babies when they were sick? It was, I mean, it's pretty simple, you know, hydration, keep their temperature low, feed a cold, starve a fever. I mean, it's really true. I've written an ebook that you can get off of our website. It's called The Importance of Fever. And I wrote this ebook a while ago because everybody was seemed to be so terrified of a fever, where fever is so important to your body. I mean, first of all, if you've got a cancer or you've got some other chronic illness and you cannot mount a fever, that is a bad thing because it tells you that your immune system is not working very well. The whole point of getting a fever is to show you that your immune system can mount a resistance against a pathogen. So fever is really, really good. And so there's an ebook on our website called The Importance of Fever. You can get that. You can get that for your kids. It's not very long. It's like 15, 20 pages long. Mendelsohn's book on how to raise a healthy child in spite of your pediatrician has been a mainstay for a really long time. I think Mayor Eisenstein's books are still out there and still available, probably in the used book market, where he talked about raising a healthy kid without any vaccines. Larry Pilevsky's newsletter tells a lot of things. And so it's like babies are very resilient. You know, we see these tiny little precious little creatures that are just born, and we think, oh my goodness, they're gonna break. And they're not going to break. They're very resilient. I mean, think about some of the horrible things that children live through, like you know, in impoverished countries or in Mexico, like Mexico City, where they are born and they're raised on a trash pile, and they develop their own immunity. They don't have any access to healthcare. They're not vaccinated, and they live. They don't, and they even kind of thrive. So children are pretty resilient. And so the thing about being anxious and worried if they get sick, first and foremost, they should come and talk to you. We have lost our longitudinal multifamily care. You know, it used to be that the first person, if I had a baby and there was the first person I want to talk to would be my mom or my grandmom about what did you do when they got sick. And take a look at my baby. They seem to be a little fussy. Is that anything to worry about? Listen, if they've had children, they've raised you, if they've raised multiple brothers and sisters, they know a little bit about raising children. They know a whole lot more than most pediatricians know about raising children. Most of the pediatricians just know the vaccine schedule and know how to give it. And that's about it. You, on the other hand, really have experience with raising children. And if you've had multiple children, you have really big, lots of experience with raising children. So we've lost that multi-generational ability. And I'm not sure if it's ability or if it's just a cultural thing. You know, it's like your mom doesn't know anything and your grandma really doesn't know anything. It's just a cultural thing that I wish we would somehow get over it and get back to going back to the people that we know and we trust and we care about, and they care about us, and ask them for advice. I mean, they would be the first one to say, I don't know, that something's not right here. I don't know. I think you need to go to the doctor. Or, oh, they're just being fussy. They probably got a little gas. Or have they had a bowel movement yet today? Or maybe they're hungry. Or maybe they're teething. Or there's a lot of different things that could be causing your child to have a fever and be fussy. Have them come and talk to you, Jan, or talk to your mom. And they will, and also those other sources that I gave you, Dr. Mendelsohn's book, my ebook, Dr. Larry Pilevsky's email list. He gives a lot of good advice for that too. I apologize that my throat is so scratchy this morning. I didn't, you know, I don't have anybody here to talk to in the morning before I get on this morning coffee show. So I didn't realize it was quite this scratchy. So I apologize, but there's nothing. I've tried to clear my throat several times. It doesn't seem to be working. So it doesn't hurt or anything. It just sounds not so good. So I apologize for the audio control this morning. It is my throat. It's not your listening. Okay. Okay, so this question is, I'm leery about injections after COVID-19 injections. I'm worried about taking anything injections. My thoughts are Prolia injections for my osteoporosis. Well, it kind of depends on how bad your osteoporosis is, Sherry. We do an entire presentation on osteoporosis, and it's based on a logarithmic scale that your T-score will be minus 1, minus 2, minus 3, minus 4. Minus 1 to minus 1.5 is considered osteopenia. Minus 2 is sort of osteoporosis. 3 and 4 is level 4 is really severe osteoporosis. I'm not sure, you know, these drugs for osteoporosis are not good drugs. They make your bones They make the bone density thicker, but the bones get more brittle, so they get like a candy cane, and so they actually permanently inhibit the osteoclasts, and osteoclasts are so important for remodeling of your bone. Inside of your bone, there are two primary kinds of cells. There's osteoblasts with a B, which means they build bone. There are osteoclasts with a C, which means it claws out old bone. So there's this balance between osteoblasts and osteoclasts. The osteoblasts, the osteoclasts pull out older, dead bone and remodeling, and osteoblasts build them back up. If the osteoclasts are permanently inhibited, then you can't get rid of old bone. And then there's another thought about osteoporosis that's really important, is that osteoporosis is there because of, it's a life-saving mechanism, meaning that there is a system in your body called a calcium-phosphorus system that needs to be in balance. And it gets out of balance if we are too acidic, if we have too many phosphates, drinking too much sodas, too much phosphates in our system. If we are too acidic, if we are, you know, eating too much junk food, if we have too much protein and we're not breaking it down completely, there's various different reasons that we become very acidic. And becoming very acidic, we need to neutralize that out because our blood needs to maintain at a current pH, at a steady state pH of about 7.4. And so if you become acidic, your body goes, hey, we need to balance out this acidity. We need to throw in some calcium to make it more balanced. So the osteoclasts go to work and they start pulling calcium out of your bones to balance out acidity. So I would say take a good look at your diet. Be really, really rigid about it. Get rid of the acidity in your diet. Take the appropriate supplements to build your bones. Things like boron, 3 milligrams a day, strontium, about 800 milligrams a day, and calcium, about 500 milligrams a day. And you don't take those all together. You spread out the strontium and the calcium a little bit in two different, and take them at two different times because they are absorbed through the same channels and they inhibit each other from absorption if they are sent out at the same time. If they're taken at the same time. So I would do a good bone building supplement. Actually, we have one in our store, Cookie. I think it's called Bone Builder. They come in little packets that you take one packet in the morning and one packet in the afternoon or in the evening for your bones. It's a bone building supplement. I would really take a look at the acidity in your diet. And unless your T-score is minus 3.5, or minus 3 or minus 4.0 or greater, then I would be really concerned about about doing these other injections for osteoporosis. Now, in terms of just taking the injection with COVID-19, I think that we've gotten a little overly paranoid about that. I get probably one or two requests or questions a day at least that come in and say, oh, I have to get dental work. I'm concerned that my dentist is using Novocaine that has contaminants in it or mRNA contaminants in it. And I'll tell you, there's only two choices. There's only two choices. You do the dental work with no Novocaine, or you do the dental work with Novocaine. And that there's a tiny little bit, if there is any contaminant in there, that's kind of your choice. I suppose you could do it under general anesthesia or under nitrous oxide that helps to cut it back. But I'm not sure, why we've gone down this rabbit hole and why we've looked at contaminants and things that are life sustaining. We've looked at contaminants that are in insulin. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to die instead of taking the insulin? I mean, it's a little over the top. We are living in a terribly toxic world, and everything that we eat has something in it, has something, microplastics. It has, the animals have been injected with vaccines. The animals have been fed antibiotics. Even the water, even our best water filters probably still leave some contaminants in the water. The air that we breathe from the chemtrails and all this stuff, we've got toxicities. So the best thing that you can do is do what you're going to do and do things to detox. You know, drdetox.com gives you a lot of different options. You know, the zeolite helps to pull out stuff. It doesn't pull out everything, but it helps to pull out a large number of things that have a charge on them that you want to get rid of. So, you know, doing the zeolite is a really important thing. And so I think it's really, and drdetox.com has a lot of suggestions of you can do it either together or a little bit at a time that will help you with detoxing from anything that you do in the environment.
Dr. T, just to say that one more time, it's drtdetox.com. I put it into the webinar chat here for everybody too.
Okay, thanks. There's another question. Is anyone experiencing, anytime I get a cold, I have thick mucus in my lungs and a bad cough. Are other people experiencing the same? I don't know. I don't know if other people are experiencing the same. I know, I'll just, you know, in full disclosure, when I started this little cough, when I came home from that very long plane ride and then the grueling 3 days I had afterwards, I've been taking hydroxychloroquine and it really helped. I mean, if you thought this sounded bad this morning, you should have heard me in the last day or two. And I had this really cough that was getting worse and worse and worse. So I started taking some hydroxychloroquine and it's mostly gone. I take 400 milligrams twice a day for 3 days, then 200 milligrams a day until the cough goes away. That's kind of the a procedure for hydroxy. And I've always looked at ivermectin more as prevention, even though you can also use it for treatment. But hydroxychloroquine works a little bit more for prevention. The other thing I've been doing a lot of deep dive into is ivermectin for cancer. And I did a tiny little research project into it yesterday for a friend of mine. And the other thing that I found in one article that a researcher had found that ivermectin had a good level of treatment protocol, had a good level of treatment for cancer in over 50 types of cancer cells, 50 types of cancer cells. And that it worked very quickly. In another study, it said it worked very quickly that they saw in the laboratory that cancer cells started dying within the first 24 hours of taking ivermectin. It was particularly effective for a leukemia. It's probably good for all kinds of cancer cells. So, Mary, that might be another thing that you want to add to your protocol with your low-dose radiation and your estrogen blocker is ivermectin. It's 0.6 milligrams per kilogram is the dose. And I've been taking it twice a week for a long, long time. In fact, if I hadn't been taking it on this trip, I probably would have gotten a whole lot like sicker kind of. But I'll tell you another thing that happened to me on this trip that I think is really, really important is that I ran out of my vitamins. You know, I've told you guys on this morning show that I take 47 pills a day. Now that's 40, not 47 different types of vitamins, because some of them I take two or three of the pills a day. Some of them are one a day, but some are two or three pills a day. So I totally take 47 different pills a day, plus my prescription meds that I'm still taking for my blood pressure right now. And I take prescription medication for my thyroid that I've taken for 20 years. And I'm never, you know, people have said to me, why don't you try to get off of that? I think my body is so used to it now after 20 years to try to eliminate that would be more trouble than it's worth, honestly. I don't think pharmaceutical drugs are bad. I don't think they're evil. I think that there's some that people can just absolutely do without, like Coumadin. You could do better than that for a blood thinner. You could do, like we talked about earlier, different things for osteopenia, osteoporosis. I mean, I feel like medications are not bad, but they should not be your first-line therapy. They should be the backup for when you really need them. And so I think that it's really important for us to not absolutely dismiss all pharmaceuticals as if they are just something evil. But as I was telling you, you know, I ran out of my, I had packed supplements. I was there for a little over 2 weeks, and I had packed enough, and I have a little pill box that I keep, you know, little pill boxes that I keep all my supplements in. I fill it up every Sunday, and I took 2 weeks worth with me. Well, 2 weeks worth ran out last Wednesday. And then I had travel on Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that's 5 days without taking any of those nutrients. And I think that probably even more than the jet lag is what dropped my immune system to the point where I've got this little thing going on in my throat. And as soon as I came back and I filled up my pill box and I started taking my Sunday night supplements, which I usually don't take supplements at all on Sunday, I just give my body a rest. I take them Monday through Saturday. I started to just feel better. Some of it, I just had to get over the jet lag. But it just told me, again, the importance of taking supplements and taking nutrients that are really, really important. It's like I'm, you know, the N of one, just saying that. You know, when people buy things and they don't take them, or they aren't sure they want to invest the money because it's expensive, or it's cost more money than what I can right now, you're really doing a disservice to your system. You're really doing a disservice to your health. And I know that money is really tight for people right now. I mean, because the cost of food, the cost of gasoline, property taxes, all sorts of things are going up. And I understand that things are really financially kind of tight right now. But really take a look at your finances and realize and look at what can you cut out that is really not necessary, so you can take those same dollars and put them into your health. Because if your health goes bad and they start clamping down again on what you can do in the hospital, it could be really, really, really much, much more costly than spending a couple $100 a month or $50 a month on supplements to keep yourself from getting sick. Does zeolite detox mercury from vaccines? Yes, it does. Do you want to have a discussion about mammograms and alternatives? We're going to, you want to have a discussion. We will do that, Mary. We're going to plan that in the fall. We're going to do it. We're going to stage it out. We're going to have a big webinar that we're going to do in the fall on mammograms and alternatives. That's going to be coming in the fall. I know you don't think a colonoscopy should be done routinely. If you think one should be done in the case of anemia to rule out bleeding, even though there's no blood found in the stool, if there's no blood found in the stool or in the urine, I'm not sure what you think they would find on a colonoscopy. I mean, blood in the stool is probably one of the easiest things to find. I mean, it's never kind of hidden. Usually when they do those types of blood tests on your stool, they usually do a series of three guaiac tests, three different stool samples, and they test them. There's a little thing, it looks like a little bottle of eye drops almost. They're really small. And they put a little dab of the stool on this card, on a card, and then they drop some of these drops on top of the card, and blood shows up. And if it's there, it's not hidden. It's always going to be there. If it's positive, it's positive. It could be weakly positive, but it's, you know, blood in the stool has always been one of the first lines of screening for stool tests. And so it's really, really important if you've had a stool test and it's negative for blood and you not have any blood in your urine, I'm not sure that doing anything invasive like a colonoscopy is in order. More blood testing is probably something that you need. Jan says, I need to write more short ebooks on individual subjects of childhood illnesses. I took your vaccine boot camp in the past and it was full of great information. Thank you, Jan. It's one of our major discussions that we have inside of our team. Like we just had another 2-hour meeting yesterday, and a lot of the focus was on books and on ebooks, on two other, I'm finishing up on Walking with God book 2. But we've got to get book 1 selling, and we have to know that it's in demand. It's something that people want. It's a lot of work, a lot of effort, and it costs a fair amount of money to get them printed. And so we got to get book 1 going. We're going to finishing up with book 2. I'm writing a book on this stroke process. I'm writing a book on what's in our food. There are small ebooks that we've talked about. We've talked about courses, other courses that we've been doing for I'm learning for you. And there's only so many hours in the day, and writing takes a lot of work. I'm not a super fast and prolific writer like, say, Naomi Wolf. Oh my gosh, that woman can churn out a 20,000 word essay. Like, it's just, she just talks, I guess, but she's a very prolific writer. John Leake, who writes with Peter McCullough, and he does their Substack. He's a prolific writer. I don't quite write like that, primarily because most of my stuff is highly researched. It's not just written off the top of my head. But maybe I should record some of these things and do some things off the top of my head. I don't know, Jan, but thank you very much for the encouragement. It's in writing more ebooks on individual subjects, revamping the Saying No to Vaccine book. Getting that back up because that was published in 2008. I'm recycling that and getting it up to speed. Re-releasing the fowl book because bird flu is now a big hot topic. And I wrote a whole book about that in 2005. These are constant conversations that I have with my team. And so I really thank you for the encouragement and letting us know. We've been trying to figure out how to do surveys with our fans, with our followers, with all of our followers on Twitter and Instagram. And we have a very big email list, all of our followers on Substack. We've been trying to figure out a way to get people to respond to surveys. I mean, some of the surveys are like one question long. It probably literally takes you less time to read it than it does to respond to it. It's like, are you interested in A, B, or C? That's it. And people won't respond to it. We'll get 11,000 opens on the Substack that people have actually looked at it, but they don't respond to it. They're not required to put in an email. They're not required to put in their name. They're not required to do anything except please respond to the survey. And people don't do it. And I'm really perplexed because what we try to do is that we're really trying to create products, whether they be supplements or books or ebooks or our newsletters. We're trying to meet your needs. And it's like there's a kind of a rule in marketing about if you build it, they will come. Meaning, if you give them what they want, they will be happy customers and continue to come back. But we're having a hard time trying to figure out what people want so that we know how to build to that. So if you see a survey that comes through from my staff in one way or another, please respond to it. Please respond to it. It only takes you like 30 seconds. And nobody's asking you to add your email address or we're not doing this to like build our list or anything like that. We're just doing it because we want to do the best job we can for you, our customers and our fans and our friends and our people that we love and love you back. So
Dr. T?
Yeah.
We have a question that came in from one of the other platforms, if you still have time to answer.
Sure.
Okay, it says, is there any information you can share that would help someone with carcinoid cancer find doctors that can treat this type of cancer alternatively? And do you know of anything that would be supportive? Located in Vermont, but any suggestion is appreciated.
Wow, carcinoid cancers are really rare. They're not common cancers at all. So I would say that's really difficult to find. And I would just, my basic general recommendation for people that are going to do all the alternative types of cancer is find somebody that's all they do. I mean, that's one of the reasons I stopped treating cancer patients in our practice was that I didn't want to solely focus on cancer. And I think if you're going to treat cancer out of the mainstream, you need to be solely focused on that. 100% of your practice ought to be that, or 98% of your practice ought to be just on cancer. There's so much to know. There's so many different kinds of cancer. There's so many different types of evaluations. There's so many different types of treatments. And so I would say the main thing is to try to find somebody that's what they do. I really like Hope for Cancer, which is Dr. Tony Jimenez's group. He has two locations. One's in Cancun and one is in Tijuana. The one in Cancun is more of a for people that are they have cancer, but they're mobile and they do it more as an outpatient. I believe the one in Tijuana is more of an inpatient type of therapy. I think that he does a really good job. There's a gentleman in Dallas that does a good job, but I do think you need to look around for people that's all they do. And that's the best I can tell you. In terms of that what we talked about earlier a little bit with ivermectin, I mean, I would go ahead and start that. You can't hurt anything. And if it treats over 50 different types of tumors, it might help to treat your carcinoid. And again, the dose is 0.6 milligrams per kilogram. I think you said you were in Vermont, you can get ivermectin over the counter up there. So it's worth trying it and seeing what happens. I wish I could be more specific than that, but I think that'll give you a place to start. I have one last question in the Q&A here. My husband, who is 73, has a low ejection fraction, was improved by ACE inhibitor that you recommended, and you recommended CCP. I think that should say ECP. We will be in Cleveland for a few days this summer. Would it be beneficial to set up to see ECP would help? I'm sure it would help the low ejection fraction. It would really help that, but I'm not sure that just a few days is going to be enough. I mean, he would really need at least a week, preferably 2 weeks of treatment, that he could do two treatments a day for at least 2 weeks. I mean, if you could stay there a little bit longer, then I think it would be beneficial. To just do a few treatments is not going to be enough. It's really not going to be enough. Well, we are over our time this morning. We had so many great questions in our Q&A. This was the most questions I think we've had in a long time. It was really fun. And I really hope that you guys learned a lot this morning. We had a great morning this morning. And I thank you for being here with me on Tuesday morning on the Tuesday Coffee. So thank you so much for joining us here this morning. It's been a really fun way to start your week, start your day. You know, we've got 7 broadcasts a week now that we do. We do this week with Dr. T, and then the deep dive for only for the premium podcast members. I don't think I do enough to promote those deep dives because they are for you. If you become a member of our podcast, your monthly support is what keeps us going. And those deep dive interviews are just over the moon good. In fact, I've learned so much about some of our guests, and they are for who we have on Monday morning. We do a deep dive with them right after we do the Monday morning this week with Dr. T, and it goes into the podcast area, and it's only for our premium podcast members. You can go back and search those. They go back a couple of years. They are really, really good. And if you miss them, I really think you should go back and re-listen to them. We've got Tuesday morning coffee. We've got Tuesday night. We've got happy hour with Dr. T with special guests. Thursday of this month in May, we're doing happy hour with Dr. T solo. So I'll be doing the Thursday events on for happy hour on Thursday nights for the month of May. And then we've got critically thinking, and we closed out our boot camp last week with the webinar, and it was fantastic. And I really want to thank everyone who's on Morning Coffee who's listened to this. Thank you so much for supporting it. We're not sure we're going to do another one, but it was really fun for what we did. So with that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible that I close all my live broadcasts and all my pre-recorded broadcasts with, which is Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope. Be patient in trouble and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, lean into God, trust him for everything. He will never let you down. So with that, have a good week, everybody. Goodbye and God bless. Spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our OptiLine, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store.